And welcome in Martin and Marlo, number 31. Charlie Marlo, Martin Kilcoin, coming to you. Scoops with DannyMatt.com, hosting the award-winning segments. A lot to get to. Charlie, I was on the radio the other day, and I was a guest, and the host said, we got a lot to get to. And I just started laughing. I don't know if they're in on the joke, but you and I have a lot to get to, including, I think this is a first on the Martin and Marlo podcast. We've got a guest. We're going to head to Wisconsin, a little Packer preview. Former colleague of mine, Lance Allen, and one of the main reasons I get him on is because he likes to give me shit, and you like that part of the show.
I do, and you know, Martin, I hate being corrector guy. I hate being corrector guy. But we have had a guest, another Wisconsinite, even though he's from
St. Louis. Oh, BMW!
Yeah, Brandon Williams was our first, I think, and only guest until today on this fabulous podcast.
I have to say I'm impressed that you actually remember, because you don't really care about anything.
Correct. That's true. But I did remember this. I'm not good at jersey numbers. I can't think of any number 31s, but I did remember that.
Mike Piazza, that came to mind. For the Cardinals, Bob Forsch was a famous Cardinals pitcher, so Forsch 31. I don't think it's an incredibly prominent number. Maybe Fergie Jenkins, but I'm not sure. I think Reggie Miller, and that's about all I got. I can't picture any football, too many football guys running around wearing that, at least not prominent.
Okay, now this is random. We can edit this out. I'm getting a phone call from Milwaukee. So is Lance trying to connect via calling me?
I would find that unlikely. He's going to hop on this Zoom here shortly.
Okay.
But that is random.
I feel like that's too much of a coincidence that it's not him somehow trying to get involved here.
All right.
We can edit this out. Don't worry.
We'll edit all this out. Don't worry. Of course we will. Hey, you and I were at the Blues home opener. And, you know, what struck me, first of all, I get it. It's a story. Are there going to be fans? No fans? How many? As a media member, are you a little bit over that topic?
I am, except for, I think because it was the first home game, and with hockey, you know, we did this with baseball last year, going to some games and there were no fans in the stands. But because we hadn't had a Blues game in 10 months, and because when COVID hit, they went right to a bubble, I do think it was interesting. And the fact that they had 300 fans, and that was my story for Fox 2, just talking with a lot of these essential workers, healthcare workers that were there, it was a pretty cool story. And hopefully they will increase as the games move on. I know the first four home games are going to have that 300 number, and it could in theory increase if St. Louis city government and health officials allow it. Yeah. I think sports fans are kind of tired. I know I am. I'm tired of talking about COVID. And I know it's important. It's serious. I'm taking it seriously, but there are also still games being played. And I think even the people that are consuming sports, whether it's TV, radio, podcast, print, they don't want to only be reading and hearing about the scheduling of COVID and contact tracing. I think they want us to talk about the games.
Right. And I think, I mean, it is a story. I don't disagree with that. I think what I'm saying is maybe the peppering of players and coaches, hey, what's it going to be like? Hey, is it kind of strange? I think that's the part I'm over.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think it was interesting, though. Again, you can do this round of stories after the first game. I don't think you need to do it every single game, because I'll be honest with you, and you and I were sitting there socially distant away from each other, or maybe it's because you just don't like sitting next to me, but it was eerie, and it was weird being in Enterprise Center. We started watching. We were on the fourth level, and even though you could see the fans on the other side, and they're way spaced out, to me, when the puck was in play, it felt really odd. It felt like a scrimmage. It didn't feel like a real game. But then when the Blues scored, when they got kind of all of the music going and they had the crowd noise and they have, of course, the announcer announcing the goals, it felt more like a real game after the Blues scored a goal. But when the puck is in play, it does feel odd.
I used to always think, man, wouldn't it be great to be like one of the only people in there? Like if you got to go to a playoff football game and they're only giving a few tickets away, oh my God, you'd have the place to yourself. But it wouldn't work. I guess it's obvious, but without a packed house, even though nobody really likes crowds and dealing with crowds and waiting for beer, waiting to go to the bathroom, but you need that crowd. It was so antiseptic tonight. Even the people that got to go, the select few, I bet they would say deep down it was kind of boring.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before on this illustrious podcast, now that we're on to episode 31. And I hate to say this because we work in sports. It's what we do for a living. I love sports. We like watching sports. We're fans. But ever since COVID hit, it's just not the same for me. It's not the same watching on TV. Obviously, it's not the same when you're in the building. I do think, though, that sometimes TV can make it translate better in terms of you don't lose the atmosphere as much, because you can shoot a hockey game where you're not seeing a totally empty stadium. When I'm watching that Chiefs game the other day, it looked like there were enough fans in the stands. Okay, there's some fans there. But when you're there in person and you can almost hear the echoes, it does feel very different. But getting back to what I said, it's just why I'm sorry, but sports in 2020 and now still in 2021, it's just not the same for me. And it's not going to be the same until the fans come back, especially with some of these college sports where the band and the cheerleaders and the crazy fans with the face paint, they really add to it in college football. I mean, the fans jumping up and down in the end zone in college basketball, and the SLU fans that are going nuts. I mean, you don't have the same atmosphere at all. We'd be lying to ourselves if we said it was the same.
All right, this is a good segue. Our guest is on the line, Lance Allen, WTMJ, the NBC affiliate in Milwaukee, Mr. Packer himself. And what one of the cool things, Lance, was seeing Green Bay having fans, and I know it was only, what, about 8,000 total. What about this weekend, NFC Championship game, Tom Brady, the Buccaneers? Will they be able to up that number at all?
Just a little bit. 6,500 is what they're going to sell. Last week they sold about 6,000. They actually announced that they had paid attendance 7,439. I'm a freak with numbers. I know I'm like Rain Man. And first responders, healthcare workers, and you tend to forget, you guys were kind of maybe touching on this a little bit, but, you know, talking to Corey Linsley, their all-pro center earlier in the year, his dad, I don't know what his dad's health situation is, but basically he and his dad and parents came to the conclusion like, hey, you're in your 70s. So I don't compromise you. You don't compromise me. We can't really see each other. Aaron Jones last week said, hey, we finally get to have our family. We could finally get to have parents or whomever, you know, because these guys are younger guys. They want their parents to see them. So total attendance was 8,456. So I think it'll be a little bit north of that, probably about 10,000 people total.
And it was loud, wasn't it? I texted Kevin Burkhardt on Fox, kept saying how loud it was. And cousin John and I are watching the game, and I said, that's got to be because of the piped-in portion of it.
No. I've been there before, Martin, and I know you've been there a number of times.
Hold on, been there before. How many effing times have you been to? I need a couple hundred?
It's mind-numbing. It's like the road between Sheboygan and Manitowoc. I could, like, shut my eyes, and I know that's not good to say that you're driving like that, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, how did I get here? Like, I've done it so many times. But I have been up there for all but I think one of the home games this year. And yeah, the PA announcer does a good job getting everybody hyped up and whatever, but it's just some, the players even admitted that it was a little bit difficult, and it was natural noise. They had signs and they were banging them on the steel bleachers. It was loud. The way they had people spaced out in there, like Aaron Rodgers said, it felt like 50 to 60,000 when he came out of the tunnel. Alan Lazard said it sounded like almost 90,000. I think that was a little bit much, but it did sound a lot louder than just your 8,000 people in there.
And the main reason Charlie Marlowe wants Lance Allen as a guest of the Martin and Marlowe, the award-winning podcast. We haven't won an award yet, but we're assuming we will at some point. Charlie just likes it.
Self-proclaimed award-winning.
Yes, when you give me crap, mostly. Charlie, Lance, mm-hmm. Charlie, my longtime colleagues here. You know, Lance and I worked in Rhinelander starting in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, I guess I should say that.
Okay, Charlie, how many times have I been to Lambeau more, or have you heard more Rhinelander stories out of Martin? I think it's almost a toss-up. It's like even odds at this point.
A lot of Rhinelander, and then what's the Northern Arizona town I always hear about as well?
Flagstaff. Yeah, I mean, Kilcoyne's like, it's the same story that just repeats. Flagstaff, Rhinelander, maybe a little bit of Madison, St. Louis, yeah, and then just repeat it, you know?
It's time for me to get new friends because I don't have any new stories.
That's time for you to get new stories. That's what it's time for, Kilcoyne.
Well, Charlie's the sports man on this show, okay? I barely know who's playing in games. Oh, Charlie, what's your burning Packer Buccaneers question?
Ooh, that's a great question. Now, I do like to wager on a game here or there. So I won't ask it specifically in terms of gambling, but I'm curious, Lance, your take, because watching the games this past weekend, and I've watched more and more playoff football as the weeks have gone on. I'll be honest, early on in the season, I wasn't watching every game, but I have the last couple weeks. And I like the Packers in this game for a couple reasons. First of all, I think they're the better team, but also I think the Bucs are a bit overvalued coming off last week, because when I watched that game, Saints Bucs, and I watched the whole thing, I don't actually think the Bucs played very well. To me, it was more the Saints not playing well, turning the ball over, Drew Brees throwing 300 interceptions. So to me, the Bucs advance more on the Saints playing poorly, whereas I feel like each week the Packers are playing really well and beating their opponents.
So it's kind of, Charlie, the chicken versus the egg, you know, what came first debate. So I've, you know, like numerous people, we've talked about this week on radio hits and podcasts and just discussions and Facebook Lives and whatever. So did the Buccaneers benefit greatly from the four turnovers against the Saints? Absolutely. So were they lucky, fortunate with the four turnovers? Or sometimes do you create your own opportunities which swing the field into your favor? And I guess we, you know, we can sit and debate that all day long. It's probably a little bit of both. I do think in your favor that the whole Buccaneers crushed the Packers 38-10, Devin White said they didn't even belong on the same field as us argument is for the most part out the window. I think, you know, players will have a little bit of chip on their shoulder from that. But I always say it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And I'm not going to say that the Packers don't have warts and that they can't be beaten, but just that offense is 30 plus points every single time they roll out on that field of late. Mm-hmm. And the defense that's been maligned, now, hopefully it's not like the NFC Championship game last year where the Niners just ran up and down the field on the Packers and they only had to throw eight times. But, you know, the defense has actually done the job. The last the five last regular season games, four of them, they held the opponent to 16 or less. And this last game, 18 points, so 20 or less points on a consistent basis. And in today's offensively enhanced NFL, if your offense can't score more than 18 points or 20 points, then you probably should lose, because I think it is an offensive league. And I think Rodgers and the offense they're supremely confident right now, and they should win this game. So I agree with you on a lot of fronts.
Lance Allen, WTMJ, Milwaukee, on the Packer beat for years. I'd say you and Brett Favre are buddies. Is that fair to say?
We actually text each other. If I can name drop like you do, Kilcoin, I know you name drop a lot. So fine, there's my name drop.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, who succeeded Brett Favre, it's unbelievable. 30 years of basically having great quarterbacking. He always seems to find that edge or a chip on his shoulder, famously with the draft. I feel like right now, because Mahomes is the flavor of the day and everybody loves Patrick Mahomes, do you think that kind of pisses off Rodgers a little bit or motivates him a little bit?
I've had some friends sarcastically say that the real MVP is Jordan Love when he was drafted. I don't know if you guys hold any weight on that or whatever, but no, I mean, that's the way, for the most part, Aaron Rodgers is wired. I think he had natural questions as to, you know, your own NFL mortality and things like that. But he, I tell you what, and we'll talk to him later this afternoon, he has been so chill. It's almost like he's gone into California chill mode or whatever. And he's mentioned in the offseason how he mentally prepared a little bit differently, you know, strength-wise did more with his legs. And you've seen it, you know, where he's more judicious with his running. But I think he's stronger and feels better than he has in the last couple of years. And whatever motivated him in the offseason, it clearly worked. And if that's the type of person you are, I will freely admit, sometimes I'm motivated that way. If somebody says you can't do something, you want to tell them I can do it and I'm going to, you know, shove it up sideways. Well, whatever, you know, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do and what I can do. You know, and sometimes that is a powerful motivator. So far it's worked. He's been a great leader, great mindset. I think he's the MVP this year. I'm not just saying that as a homer. I think he has led that team and performed very well in the entire season.
How about, Charlie, are you going to use shove it up sideways in the sportscast tonight?
Yeah, I figured, you know, podcast, it's kind of like, you know, we can say whatever we want on here. So, you know, yeah, exactly. You know, I usually my phrase, Charlie, is I'm going to stick my foot so far up your rear end, you're going to be flossing with my laces. So, you know, so, kind of one of those statements, you know, like real macho.
For sure.
That's the and pro wrestling fan. You know what? I know you got to run because Matt LaFleur is coming up on your interview list, and we'll do it again. Maybe we'll do a Super Bowl preview podcast where we'll get deep into those Rhinelander stories, which I know the audience craves.
I also realize now, Charlie, that I can wear a T-shirt and have jacked up hair. I don't need to get all. Oh, he's got the Hodag T-shirt on. Even look at this. This is unbelievable.
That was not intentional. That was an accident. I just happened to be wearing it.
You know what's amazing, Charlie? You know what's amazing is that is actually a T-shirt that's getting close to three decades old. Can you believe that?
1994.
Oh, 100%.
What a glorious year for Hodag football. I don't really remember the outfit.
Jason Doring, baby. I will admit, Charlie, I do have T-shirts that are now older than any kid in high school. I've got a stack of about 100 of them, including the Hodag one, including probably like the Badgers Rose Bowl 93. I think I've got like a Wisconsin hockey sweatshirt from when I still went to school there. Yes, we're all getting old enough that our T-shirts are older than most humans, and I've just got a stack of them at home. So I can't hit on, you know, I can't rip Kilcoin too much for that.
And when my wife throws them away, I go and I pull them out of the trash. I'm like, I'm not getting rid of that shirt.
It's all an right, episode hey, of Hoarders, man. I love it. We got to be on Hoarders next time.
I love it. All right. Lance Allen, WTMJ, the second ever guest on the Martin and Marlowe podcast. Brandon Williams, the Badger great, was the first, as Charlie pointed out at the beginning of the show. All right, Charlie, you're the gambling man. Give me a scenario where the Bills beat the Chiefs. And I guess the obvious is with Mahomes not being able to play.
Yeah. When you're watching the game the other day, though, too, now I know that the Chiefs offense was totally different once Pat Mahomes leaves that game. When you're bringing in a guy I covered at Michigan, Chad Henne, that's how long ago that was, because that's when I was in Michigan. He's been around for a while. It was one of those things when Chad Henne entered the game, he said, oh, he's still in the NFL. Good for him. But if you look at the play at the end of the first half, right, when the Browns are about to score a touchdown and you have this rule that's very unfair, I think most people would agree that you reach for the pylon in the end zone and the ball goes out of the end zone, so you lose the football. You don't just lose yardage, you lose the football. If that play scores and you're darn close to scoring a touchdown, that's a whole different ball game. And I think with the Chiefs, even if Mahomes is playing in the game, remember, he was banged up before the concussion. He had a foot injury. He was hobbling around. I would be very worried if I was the Chiefs, because you have Patrick Mahomes, who, let's be real, he's going to play, but he's going to be compromised a little bit with the concussion. He's probably going to be compromised with his foot because, again, he wasn't running around at 100%. And this is a really good Bills team. And I hate to always make it about gambling, but the Chiefs have not been a good team all year in terms of against the spread. They keep all these games close. If you look at their last, I think, 10 games or so, they barely ever cover the spread. Now, obviously, they have high spreads because they're such a good team. But what that shows you, too, is they're keeping all of these games much closer than what is expected. And so if they do that again and they let a Bills team hang around, it would not surprise me one bit if the Bills beat the Chiefs. I actually, as we're sitting here, I'm sitting in my car on a Wednesday. I am going to bet the Packers because, as we said earlier, I feel like the Bucs are actually overvalued. I don't think the Bucs played very well last week. I think the Packers are really, really good. I think I would take the Bills. And I do believe that Pat Mahomes is going to play. I don't think he's going to be 100%, but it would not shock me one bit if the Bills beat the Chiefs.
One other thought on the NFC title game, which you'll see on Fox 2, Tampa Bay going to Green Bay, the old – I guess that would have been the NFC. Was that the NFC North back in the day when they were in it? Nonetheless –
the Bay of Pigs.
Do you think that New England fans are rooting for Tom Brady? This is the kind of stuff that I think about. Do you think Patriot fans want to see Brady succeed since they loved him for two decades?
I think yes. And I say this because I think most fans are actually fans of the players more than the ownership and the coaches. So if you're a Patriots fan, you got six Super Bowls, Do you root for Tom Brady or do you root for Bill Belichick? Do you have a Robert Kraft jersey? Do you have a Bill Belichick hoodie? No, you root for the players. And so even though he's gone, I think you're rooting for Tom Brady. Now, maybe some of the Patriots executives don't think it would be great if Tom Brady won the Super Bowl in his first year leaving after the Patriots, of course, don't make the playoffs. But I do think most fans root for the players. So you're still going to love Tom Brady, even though he goes to another team.
Interesting sidebar. The game last week, Pam Oliver had a report and people were all saying, boy, is she drunk or is her tongue frozen? And the answer is probably, yeah, she was probably frozen. But it reminded me when the Packers won the Super Bowl, they had this big celebration at Lambeau and it was like bitter cold. I was not there. I'd been at the Super Bowl, but I was not at the celebration. And Ron Wolf, the team GM and executive, is at the mic and he was like slurring every word, like, ah, the Packers. And I always thought he was just drunk. And I thought, well, they had a huge parade and party. And like, nobody cared. Nobody cared at all. But everybody kind of laughed about it. And then years later, I was talking to him at spring training. He's one of those friends of Tony's. He'd be at Cardinal spring training, hanging out with Bill Parcells. And we started talking about the Packers and all that and how cold it was. And he said, you remember that celebrate? I said, yeah. He goes, everyone thought I was drunk. And I said, well, were you? He said, I don't even drink. And he said, but my tongue was frozen. So I was thinking that Pam Oliver might need to contact Ron Wolf at some point to commiserate. It gets that cold is the point, Chuck.
Yeah, I've been to Lambeau. Well, I've been there a couple times, one for a mini camp. I did go to one game there, but it was pretty early in the year. I remember it was not terrible weather. So I've never really been to Lambeau during the frozen tundra. But it is one of those cathedrals that I'm very glad I got to go to at least one game in Lambeau Field and hope to again down the road.
Your other NFL thought of the week, you've got the Jaguars needing to come home. And now, all right, first of all, tell me about the premise and then tell me about the response maybe from some angry Jags fans.
Well, the premise is a joke, just as it was 5 years ago where Duval Nation – somehow they always get a hold of these tweets. I think there's a couple Jaguars fans that still joke about this or still follow me. So when I make a joke, they spread it to all their fans that don't understand it was a joke. This all originated from 5 years or so ago when the Rams leave and we're on the radio morning after. And, you know, Jim Hayes is always talking about this. So it's kind of one of those jokes where now whenever there's ever an article written about any NBA team or any NFL team, in terms of, oh, they might be moving, they have a lease that's up, we always joke and say, the Pelicans, our Pelicans come home, or our Jaguars, come on back home. So I was joking about that, of course. We all know Shad Khan, who we consider local because he went to University of Illinois, which is about 3 hours away. And look, if you're the Jaguars now, you got Urban Meyer, and you're going to have Trevor Lawrence, they have a nice setup for the next 5 years. So I was kidding that it's now really time for our Jaguars to come back home. So we can basically have a good football team for the next 5 years. I think everybody that realizes in St. Louis, it was an inside joke, got it. Jaguars Nation did not. I think that might be my most, what do you call it in terms of engagement and impression? That might be my most engaged tweet I've ever sent because Jaguars fans were killing me for two or three straight days.
And did you ever respond? You know, but here's what's interesting is the Jaguars really were St. Louis's team, depending on how you view it. But during the expansion draft, the St. Louis Stallions had this bid together and they were all so excited in St. Louis. They were going to get NFL back. And the owners came out and said, and everybody said, well, Carolina's getting a team. That market, Carolina's getting a team. And they came out with the Carolina Panthers. And then they liked, supposedly the owners liked Wayne Weaver. And so they gave the Jacksonville a team. So there are some people in St. Louis who believe the Jaguars should have been in St. Louis initially. And then you add in Mark Lamping, the team president down there, is from St. Louis, went to Vianney, used to be the president of the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, that doesn't mean they're coming to St. Louis. They're not coming to St. Louis. But I always like when you get something out there for fun and people get all torqued off.
Yeah, I don't
even – your job.
Yeah, but I don't even really mean to troll people as much as – I'm only making – really, it's narrow casting. I make these jokes for what I feel like is 50 or 100 or maybe 1,000 people, whoever, that like listen to the radio. They know all of our stupid old jokes, just like the same with when we say, why do you hate? You know, why do you hate this? Why do you hate that? That's clearly an inside joke, and I tweet those out for the small amount of people – that get those jokes. But then if it kind of goes viral, people don't understand you're joking. Oh, I was told some very mean things. I was told some very suggestive things sexually. I got even a DM from somebody basically calling me some bad names. So yeah, Jaguar Nation, they're not happy.
Did they tell you to shove it up sideways?
Well, basically, they said worse things than that even.
The episode is number 31, Martin and Marlo. I still got a bunch of stuff to get to, but our great sponsors, let's start with that, Charlie. The Marlo moments are brought to us by...
Well, Kenilwood Pet Resorts just took Otis to Kenilwood the other day for a groom, for a bath, for day camp. Great for socialization. Take your pets there for training. So they make sure your dogs are chill. They're not going to go nuts when the mailman comes by. We're working on that. We're working on that with Otis right now with the training at Kenilwood Pet Resorts. Of course, Corner Butcher in Fenton, one of my favorite spots. And I think we're going there tomorrow. I'll probably go there tomorrow anyway. We're going to shoot a little video for Corner Butcher. Love that place. 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive in beautiful Fenton. And then because I'm sitting in my car right now, I'm looking at my lawn. And the lawn looks great. Even though it's wintertime, it looks great because of St. Louis Lawn Care and also St. Louis Equipment for all of your mowing needs. So check them out, St. Louis Lawn Care, St. Louis Equipment. That's what I got, Martin.
You know, if your lawn looks good in the winter, that means you took care of it in the fall. It means they did a good job back then. You almost like tuck your lawn in for the winter, right? And if you don't clean it up, then you're staring at leaves and crap everywhere for 3 months. You got to tuck that baby into bed probably about mid-November. Just write that down.
That's fair. And you got to get the leaves taken care of. Most of your leaves are down now. So if you still have leaves in your yard, I see a couple in my yard. That's my fault. I'm going to take care of them. But St. Louis Lawn Care can also take care of that for you.
Janie Mae is 3. She can get out there and pick those leaves up.
She actually loves going around the yard. For Christmas, we got her a little pink wheelbarrow. She has her own little lawn tools because she likes going around with Daddy. What Daddy likes to do, we have a lot of trees around our house. And so when branches fall down, I love to go around and take those branches because it's great for kindling, as you know, for the fireplace. Kindling is very important. So I walk around and I pick up all the little sticks for kindling. Janie Mae loves doing that with me. Now she has her own pink wheelbarrow. So she looks the part.
How about a scouting tip? Boy Scout Charlie Marlo with the kindling wood. All right. Sponsors also include Triad Bank, neighborhood friendly bank. They're in Frontenac on Clayton Road, real close to that intersection of Clayton and Lindbergh. St. Louis based bank, 5-star rated bank. So whether it's your personal banking or your business, make sure you talk to Jim Regna and the team at Triad Bank. Also, Marie Davila Senior Living. They're at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. They've been there since 1960, and it's more than a retirement place. It's a beautiful campus. Check them out online, mariedavila.com. You can take a virtual tour. Appliance Discounters, guess what, Charlie? Humble brag. We got a new dryer. Very exciting. New dryer, Appliance Discounters. It's a GE. The old one had just been beaten down by time. But the GE, I don't know the make. I don't know the model. I know it's a GE. That's the make. I don't know the model.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. And you open the dryer and the light comes on inside the dryer. I'm like, somebody was thinking. You know how dark it gets inside your dryer? Can't see those socks that are missing. We got a brand new dryer. Love the folks at Appliance Discounters. Find them on the web at theappliancediscounters.com. Before we went to Lance, he had to get to some Matt LaFleur Zoom. Today's show, I have to say, Troy, was poorly executed by me, poorly timed. I wanted more time for all of us to yuck it up. I forgot we'd had guests before. So just, you know what? I'll be better next week. But I had a Blues thought. And I want you to try this on. Justin Faulk, the Blues defenseman, is Matt Holliday. Both got traded here not immediately, but got big contracts. Fan base said, well, wait a minute. Why are you giving that guy all that money? But both of them were 3-time All-Stars before they got here. Holliday was insurance, I believe, in case Pujols left. And I think Faulk, although they liked him and they said it wasn't because of Pietrangelo, but I feel like he was a little bit of an insurance policy if you did lose Pietrangelo. Can I sell you on this analogy?
You know, I saw this posted on Twitter. Was this your TKO? So I didn't actually watch it. No offense. Wow. When I saw...
Hold on. The only thing more offensive than that is when people come up to me now and they say, how's your work going? Oh, good. They said, so are you remotely? Or are you in the studio? I'm like, holy shit. We've been in the studio for like 6 months. I'm like, Well, it's a hybrid, a little in studio, a little bit at home. They're like, oh, so they let you come to this. I'm like, holy shit, they're not watching at all. Not everybody, just some of these very good friends, clearly.
Yes. That never really bothers me, I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'm not terribly upset, but it's very telling that they haven't seen you on TV for like 7 months.
Okay, you're a diva. It's all good. Okay, Lance agrees. We'll get Lance back on to confirm that. No, so I did see the headline. No offense, I didn't watch it. I of course will go back and watch it. So when I saw the headline, I didn't like the comparison. You just sold me a little more on it by describing it. So there are a lot of similarities. And maybe it's because I'm more of a baseball guy than a hockey guy. I think people know that. To me, Matt Holliday has more panache, more Q rating than Justin Falk. You know, when you make that comparison, I feel like Matt Holliday is of a higher status than Justin Falk. Maybe, though, that's because I'm a baseball guy and not a hockey guy. I will say, though, that Justin Falk has an incredible hair-mustache combo. Yesterday on the radio with Cam Jansen, 590 The Fan, I said he looked like Curly Bill Brocious from Tombstone, but I think I was wrong. I think it's Johnny Ringo from Tombstone. He has a mustache and a hair combo that he looks like a bandit from post-Civil War, the Wild Wild West America. Don't you think?
No, I didn't watch Tombstone. It's probably one of those many shows that everybody liked.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't discover Tombstone. I missed it. But I get the sense of what you're talking about, and I totally agree. I just think the idea, when the fan base, it's a new person, and that person gets locked up right away, I think they tend to be more critical. It's sort of my comparison. Like, if you just let it breathe for a minute, like Matt Holliday, even though he had tons of critics, had a very good Cardinals career. I think it allowed Justin Falk to kind of just do his thing. You might be saying the same thing in a few years as well. That was sort of my point.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. I don't think it's a bad comparison. I think it's a good comparison because you can debate it. However, I think when the Cardinals traded for Matt Holliday in 2009, before he even re-signed, the thought was, and it was accurate, that you were getting a superstar. And when they traded for Justin Falk, I don't think you would say you're trading for a superstar. I think you're trading for a really good quality player, but it gets back to, I just think Matt Holliday is of a higher caliber than Justin Falk.
Right. I mean, I you're right. I just think in the hockey world, it's a little different than maybe our day-to-day world. I mean, he was a three-time All-Star. It wasn't, he had more cachet maybe than people in St. Louis realized, but I agree. Within their own sport, Holliday had a higher visibility and recognition, 100%. So it's not the best analogy, but it's also not my worst analogy. I have another question, Charlie, that you can help me with. And it's about a lot of tweets and stuff. Well, this is young Holden here. Hi, Holden, what do you have to say?
I need my iPad to come.
You need your iPad?
Yeah, the
iPad. He's four. He needs his iPad. All right, just hold on 1 second there, Sparky. So, Chuck.
Tell him to play with some blocks.
On Twitter, can you do some Roblox for us today? When they say, Holden is my grandson, my stepdaughter's son, Holden, is four. Can you say hi to Mr. Charlie?
Hi, Mr. Charlie.
Yeah.
Hi, Holden. Love the name.
Well, you might have a play date with Janie Mae when COVID ends in like 2034 or whenever that ends.
Yeah.
One thing I've never understood, like we're talking about sarcasm and jokes being misunderstood, like your Jags. When they say, hold my beer, like I get it, but I don't quite know how to apply it. Can you walk me through it? And I'm being serious. I don't. Like, I get it. It's like, it's saying what? Like, you haven't seen anything yet? Is that kind of what it means?
That's another great question. As you asked that, I'm trying to process it. I think it gets back to the whole thing, and I don't want to make fun of rednecks, because I think I'm kind of a northern redneck in the sense that I'm publicly educated and I like beer as well. But I think it's the whole thing of hold my beer, I'm going to do something stupid. You know, like, the old joke was
like, I can top that. You're saying I can top that.
Yeah. It's kind of like, hey, you know how they always say, what's the famous last words? Hey, watch this. You know, you're playing with a firecracker and all of a sudden you blow your hand off. Like, hold my beer. I'm going to do something really stupid. Whatever you just did, hold my beer. I'm going to top it and do something even dumber.
Okay. That helps. I think I was overthinking it. Okay. So I can hold my beer. I can physically see somebody doing that. It's in, I can outdo what you just did. Hey, 2021 yes. Says the 2020, hold my, maybe it's just so overused that I got confused. I don't know. All right, Chuck, we got a lot to get to. We got to wrap things up here. Clearly, I'm very busy today. Billiken basketball appears to be returning Tuesday against Dayton. They will have missed 7 games. There's no way they'll make up all the games. The weird thing is the NCAA this year says to be tournament eligible, you have to play 13 games. Well, SLU's already played 8, so they'll be fine. They'll get to that. I do worry that they'll return and they're not going to be the team they were. I mean, it's hard to take 5 weeks off and all of a sudden just be good again. But it's really – maybe it's more jarring because they had – I think the report was 8 kids had COVID and Travis Ford had COVID. It just seems like really bad luck. Granted, it's a pandemic for a SLU team. You know, why couldn't this have happened when they had a crappy team? There's tonight's TKO.
You know what? That's great. Your TKO tonight should be COVID should have happened during the Jim Cruz era. Not the beginning, of course, when he had Majerus' players. The last couple of bad years. If COVID happened during the Jim Cruz era, nobody would have minded because you wouldn't see a team that you didn't want to watch. Okay. That's obviously a joke. So don't tweet me. But what you just said about the 13 games, have we not learned from the Big Ten? Why are we throwing out arbitrary numbers? That's really stupid because you know there's going to be a great team that only plays 12 games or 11 games. You know that's going to happen. And you said SLU will easily get to 13. Martin, we have no idea if SLU might come back and play 3 games and they could get it again. The SLU women's program got shut down twice. So I have to say, now that we're into this season, I kind of agree with whoever the hell said every team should make the tournament this year, because it's not going to be fair. If a SLU team goes 11-1 and they don't make the tournament, that's just not fair. They have to figure out a way. Now, I guess if you have a conference tournament, you can make the case that every team has a chance to get in through the conference tournament. But I would be very wary of doing arbitrary numbers because that bit the Big Ten in the butt. And then they looked really stupid when they changed every single rule for Ohio State. There's going to be some great teams, I promise you, that don't play 13 games.
Was it Roy Williams who said that initially, that everybody should get in? I think it was Roy Williams. And now I'm laughing because maybe he knew they weren't going to be very good.
I just saw a stat the other day. My buddy, who's a big ACC guy, he went to Virginia. So he's always hated Duke and North Carolina anyway. And obviously when Virginia wins the national championship, he's been very talkative the last couple of years here. But he threw a stat out that, like, for the AP poll, it's the first time since, I don't know, something like 40 years since Duke and Carolina, both those schools were not ranked in the poll. And then if you add in the fact that Kentucky's not ranked, so if you add UNC, Duke, and Kentucky, and I don't have the exact number.
1961, not to be that guy, 1961, because we did it on the news the other day, 1961.
Crazy. That's, I mean, 60-ish years. That's nuts.
It's insane. The good news, though, to my understanding, because so many Billiken players had it, I think 8 or more, and those 8 can't get it again, that I don't think they'll have a shutdown. That's my understanding, is that that they might lose a player and they would be quarantined, but that the rest of them would be allowed to play on the way it – I don't know how it all works. But apparently, because so many of them got it, it actually will help them moving forward, where you won't see a shutdown again. That's at least my understanding. Charlie, this was a very frenetic, busy, informative Martin and Marlowe. I'm just going to call it informative and leave it at that.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Way to sell it, Chuck. Talk to you soon.
That wasn't Lance. That's too much of a coincidence. I'm telling you.